DW Africa Link.
Is the freedom to protest under threat in Nigeria? Recently, the government faced backlash after miners were detained for joining cost of living protests, forcing the president to order their release. But this crackdown has sparked a wider debate. Can Nigerians still safely voice their discontent? Join us as we explore the tension between the people's right to protest and the government's response, and what it could mean for Nigeria's democratic future. My name is Josie Mahachi. Welcome to Africa Link, the podcast that connects you to the stories that matter from Africa.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
Nigeria's President Bola Ahmed Tinubu, at the start of this month, ordered the immediate release of 30 children facing the death penalty after being arraigned for allegedly participating in protests against the country's cost of living crisis in a generation. Under growing pressure from activists, Tinubu also directed an investigation of the law enforcement agents involved in the arrest and prosecution of the miners. The children detained since August were among more than 70 people arraigned on charges of treason, destruction of property, and mutiny after the August protests that shook the country and culminated in security operatives killing some demonstrators and arresting hundreds. Rights groups have been concerned about the crackdown on citizens protesting to express their frustrations with the state of the Nigerian economy. So, is Nigeria becoming notorious for cracking down on dissent and the rights to protest? Joining me for this discussion is Frank Tete, a prominent Nigerian lawyer and activist. Also on the discussion is our very own Ben Adam Shemang, DW correspondent based in Abuja. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for joining us here on DW Africa Link podcast. But just for our listeners to understand exactly the whole story or get a better picture of what exactly happened, Ben, you are our correspondent on ground. Tell us about the recent arrest. What triggered it and what has been the fallout?
What triggered this event, let's call it event or issue, is the fact that Nigerians feel that the Tinubu government is not ruling very well. So there is this bad governance, a kind of a group that felt that they could go on the street and protest so that Nigerians will have what they call dividends of democracy, good hospitals, nice roads, security, and many other things. And that to them was lacking. And that was why this NBAT governance protest took place between August 1 and 10th. So the security operatives did some deployment, very high-handed kind of approach, tear gas, there were some alleged shootings, and of course the arrest and subsequent trial that we are seeing that is the crux of this discussion.
Now, Frank, you are a lawyer and an activist. You know, for us who are all over the world, not in Nigeria, the first time I actually saw the videos being posted by one of the bloggers or one guy on social media, it was a sad picture to watch. I mean, those miners, how they looked. What do you make of these latest arrests in Nigeria over protests?
Well, I think there are signs of desperation of a government that knows that it's not keeping its promises to the people. It's sad that the government handlers did not have to discriminate against the fact that children were not supposed to be arrested and held for that long. But because they couldn't really lay their hands on those who perpetrated, who organized the End Bad Governance protest, which is actually a protest against hunger, it meant that they had to arrest those children who were just scapegoats. It was a very sad development. And that's the reason why the government has been quite desperate in trying to clean up its acts.
Mm-hmm. Right. But, you know, it took another person to be arrested for this whole story to come out. What does it really say about the, should I call it the judiciary system in your country? Because the prison wards, the police knew that there were kids that were languishing in prison, but nobody spoke, nobody said anything until this other man was arrested and saw these kids languishing in prison. Frank?
The point is that there's a lot of eye service in governance in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of effort on the part of public officers to please whoever is in power, even if it means breaking the law, even if it means going against one's conscience, as we have seen. That speaks to the judiciary and law enforcement in generally, including the police. The police has senior officers. They knew that it was wrong, but they all wanted to be on the good side. They want to appear to be high-handed to think so that it will look as if they are doing everything possible to protect the interest of the president. They don't know, out of ignorance, they don't know that they are actually doing the president a disservice by breaking the law. And thankfully, those pictures came out for the world to see. Now it is the president that is on the receiving end trying to correct the wrong impression that it is violating not just human rights, rights of children, and then also depicting a very poor law enforcement standard in the country.
Right, right. Now, speaking of the president, still with you, Frank, how concerned are you about how the miners were handled? And did it worry you that it took the president, the number one citizen, to intervene to get them released?
Of course, I was deeply worried. The real worry is the fact that there is an attorney general of the Federation and Minister of Justice. There is an inspector general of police. There are federal high court judges and prosecutors of the Ministry of Justice and the police. Does it mean that all these persons could not apply the principles of the Administration of Criminal Justice Act or the Constitution in general to realize that these persons could not stand trial, and they were not even supposed to, as minors, to be detained for a whole long time? We're talking about 90 whole days. That it had to take a president who is supposed to be dealing with more serious issues as head of state to make a pronouncement as to their release. It's an indication that things have actually, you know, gone askew. And there is a dysfunctionality in terms of governance. The idea of having ministers, having heads of departments, heads of police, and attorney general is so that the president can concentrate on more important things, why they do the specific things, in this case, the issue of justice delivery. So the worry stems from the fact that people just won't do what they have to do because of eye service, because of wanting to be politically correct. It's a big problem.
Right, right. Now, Ben, we are living in the world where social media it's rampant, it's ruling, right? And we also saw some video clips of some lawyers outside the court when those kids or minors collapsed, and they were saying that they can be arrested, they can be in prison. And at 14, they're already adults. Is that what the law in Nigeria says?
Not at all, because even what you call the minors, when they commit some offenses, if you do have reason to take them into custody, they go into some of these busted training centers where you have the very feeble, as young as they are. But here you are, they were taken and mingled with what you call hardened criminals, which is wrong. It's not the practice in Nigeria. It's not supposed to be so. And yes, like you said, you could see some lawyers, because they were pro-government, they stood for government. They said, no, they are not kids. Many of them are married, even at the age of 15 or 17. You see, even if you have one day to make it 18 years, you are still a minor, going by the Nigerian Constitution. No two ways about it. the social media. You see, they were able to break these traditional barriers. You could film citizen journalism, you could film and send, and people share, people like. And that was how it went to government easily, and hence this kind of decision.
Now, let's talk about the ones considered to be adults, Frank, who are capable of facing trial. What is happening to them? And before you comment on that, can you just tell me what you thought of your colleagues' behavior, calling those minors adults because they're already married, as they said?
Well, I like I said, that was an extreme expression of political correctness on the part of those lawyers who did that, that were just simply trying to save their jobs. In Nigeria, job security is more paramount than anything else for public servants who will do anything to keep their jobs, if it means telling barefaced lies. And, you know, so it means there is no conscience in the being applied to the way they practice both law or as civil servants or public servants in general. It was just an extreme. It's a normal thing, but that was an extreme because on the those my colleagues, they said it on the, in the front of the camera, and they were not even ashamed, despite the copious and copious evidence that these have children. And again, I will not forget to say this, that we're talking about, I know you asked me a question about the adults, but the children, before they were arrested and kept in detention, have always had bad treatment in Nigeria, particularly in northern Nigeria. So let's not forget about that. Let's not forget that we have a statistic of 18.3 million Nigerian children that are out of school. Many of them are homeless. Many of them are without education. They don't go to school. They are roaming the streets, and they are also in Kano. But for publicity sake and PRO stunts, you see, like Ben has reported, the governor sending a plane, or rather jets, to come and pick them back home, whereas the same Kano state government is setting up committees on how to deport street children from Kano because they are a menace. They are already a threat to national security as we speak. So we should not pay lip service to the fact that children were maltreated simply because the optics have now brought it out to the world. Children have always been maltreated, especially in northern Nigeria. And we already have a crisis as we speak in our hands. As for those who, the older ones that are said to be on trial, nobody should be on trial for protesting. It's a constitutional right that is supported by Section 39 of the Constitution, which guarantees the right to free speech, which is the foundation of democracy. Democracy exists so that we can have some freedoms, some liberties, and those liberties are expressed in the way we choose our leaders, criticize our leaders, and the way we can freely speak so that we don't take up arms to express ourselves. So if there were outright criminalities that were committed, offenses that were committed in course of the protest, and such persons were arrested, then those persons should be named and the offenses be categorically defined, and not that they are protesters of calling for a regime change, because as it is, the fear which gripped the government was because they were protesting and brandishing Russian flags in northern Nigeria and then chanting that the military should take over government. In Nigeria, that is a very serious offense that borders on treason. However, that was not what happened. It was clear that these protesters gave notices to the government that they would come out on a certain day and they will be calling on the world to witness the fact that there is, I wouldn't say in past tense, there is hunger in Nigeria. So you couldn't turn around and say they wanted to ensure regime changed. Flags in Nigeria, we have, if you go to many buildings, whether public or private buildings, there are flags of different countries being hoisted. It doesn't mean that we're paying allegiance to such countries as against the interests of our country. So, but that they did it on the day of protest, I don't even see where it has been defined that you know, flying a flag of another country because of a protest amounts to something. But however, the law against treason does make provision to the fact that if a citizen does anything that causes the president to be afraid by way of levying war or trying to take over government, it might amount to treason. But what those protesters did was very far from being treason.
Right. You mentioned Nigeria being a democracy. It's well known Nigeria is a democracy. But we've been noticing a lot of crackdown on protests. I remember there was the NSAS protest. Now this one that happened in August. What do you have to say about this, that the government seemed to be cracking down on protesters?
Yeah, because we have not really developed much in terms of the practice and culture of democracy. We are still grappling with how to manage power with some measure of accountability to the people. So the sense of the average Nigerian who is in government or controlling any form of authority is more authoritarian, in the sense that they think that might is right, forgetting that power, political power, is meant to serve, is meant to improve living conditions, is meant to provide security. So because of the high level of corruption in governance, anybody who is trying to ask questions faces one form of repression or the other. So it's a matter of understanding. We're still growing, even as the people, apart from those in government, the people also do not know that sovereignty belongs to them, and that they are actually supposed to be the ones who should be calling government to order. So the reason we are experiencing these forms of repression against protest and crackdown against activists and critical voices, it's just a reflection of our level of how much of understanding we have of democracy. It's still growing. We don't forget that we were a country that has suffered many years under the rule of the military, where things were done in such authoritarian manner. And the military at the time in Nigeria, you could see soldiers flogging citizens for simple traffic offenses that they would have been taken to court for. So we're struggling with that horrible mentality. It's taking decades, but we still need more time, requiring us to carry on some form of political education, which is not readily available, because it appears that those in government find it easier to operate in such authoritarian manner.
Frank Titi, a Nigerian lawyer and activist, Ben Shemang, DW correspondent, many thanks for joining us. At the Africa Link podcast, we always look across the continent to see how the stories and issues we are dealing with play out, or at times even overlap. Unlike in Nigeria, as we've heard, in Ghana, that is a model of democracy in Africa. The citizens remain vocal when it comes to agitating for their rights to assembly and hold protests. Those that spoke to DW had this to say.
The protesters who were arrested, it was a good thing, because when you watch the videos and things that they were doing that day, they were causing mass destruction, not even on a higher level, but whatever they were doing wasn't good. As long as you are protesting, it is okay. You are free to protest, talk about your views and all that, show how angry you are, but it has a limit. You shouldn't overdo whatever you are doing to the extent that you cause fear and panic in other people. You'll be arrested. So arresting those protesters that day was a good thing. And secondly, freedom of speech is not only exhibited by protesting. People have spoken their minds. Others have said a lot of things and they haven't been arrested. So protesting is not the only way you can express your freedom of speech. And arresting them didn't mean that freedom of speech is being threatened in Ghana or anything of that sort. No, because even after that, other people have protested and no one talked about it. No one arrested them. They were allowed to do their thing as long as they followed the rules of protesting and all that, you are free to go. No one is going to arrest you.
It is very unfortunate that these days Ghanaians cannot stage a peaceful demonstration on the streets of Ghana in peace. For crying out loud, the system of governance in Ghana is not an aristocracy. It is not an oligarchy. It is not a dictatorship. It is not a totalitarianism. For crying out loud, we are in a democracy. And for that matter, organizing protests and organizing demonstrations are part of the democratic processes. So in a case where people are being restricted, people are intimidated for exercising their displeasure, it's a no-no. And I think if we keep on like this, there's a danger ahead of us.
People who are even stealing government money and all those kind of things are walking away free of charge. And ordinary Ghanaians who decide to go to the street and then protest against a bad governance, you arrest them. So as long as I'm concerned, those arrests, there's no need at all. In fact, it was not necessary. And indeed, freedom of speech is really, 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 really under threat, especially when it comes to this Akufo-Addo and Bawumia's government. It is really, really under threat, because if you want to go out there and go and protest, in fact, you have to be very careful. Because the police, the entire police force that will even protect you, if care is not taken, they will even beat you. They who are supposed to guide will even beat you. So when you are going, you have to be careful. You are even scared of going or to say something when you go there or you want to express yourself. Even people who were expressing their view through their TikTok platforms and all that, got arrested. Individuals who don't even go on streets to protest, but they only speak through their social media platforms, they are being changed from left to right every day. So, honestly speaking, it's not easy. Under this particular government or this present day Ghana, expressing your view has become a serious thing. You have to be careful because care is not taken. The entire police force who is supposed to even protect you will come after you, and then you won't even know who is behind it. And if they take you to court to Bobo, the court itself is who is supposed to protect you, explain this thing for you, explain the law for you to understand, and then handle the case very well. We even judge your case before they send you to the court. So before you get to the court, you're already in jail. So as a matter of fact, our freedom of speech is seriously under threat in this present day Ghana. Yeah.
Protest is right in Ghana. It is enshrined in the constitution. However, the recent arrest we've seen in which regards to the arrest of protesters signifies what we've been talking about all this while, that this government has turned itself into a dictatorship. Because when you look at the president, he has benefited more than anyone in the history of this country, which regards to protests, he's benefited. And then even if you look at this current government and its political party, they have benefited more than anyone when it comes to protests, when they're in opposition. So what has changed? So it just tells you that these guys are just a bunch of hypocrites and people who feel threatened by ordinary, harmless citizens who are just demonstrating on issues affecting the ordinary Ghanaians. It's about illegal mining. It's not even really about the cost of living. It's about issues that are affecting the ordinary Ghanaian. Illegal mining, bad governance, corruption, you know, and all these things. So, and one thing also is, I don't really think that freedom of expression is being restricted or intimidation. No, no, no. These guys cannot intimidate us. The police and even, no. They cannot. They cannot. All those things they do, they just do it to scare away the protesters. And then they failed, really, because even the next day after the last protest, you saw the huge number of people that came out to demonstrate continuously for this. And then this is not really a surprise. I mean, the police are learning from their paymasters. I mean, as you can see from across the world, there have been increased hostility against people who are protesting from the US to the UK. I mean, you can all see that. So it's just a way where people who hide behind the so-called democracy to infringe on others' rights.
Those were some Ghanaians expressing their views on the right to protest in Ghana. That's it for this edition of Africa Link. Remember, you are not just a listener, but a part of our community, and your engagement can shape the direction of our discussions. We value your insights and encourage you to share your thoughts with us. Remember to click follow so you can catch all of the Africa Link podcast episodes. This podcast was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. My name is Josie Mahachi. Thanks for listening. Until next time, it's bye for now.
DW, made for minds.